What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, the Royals are a win away or a Twins loss away from heading back to the postseason for the first time since 2015. We're obviously going to talk more about this after what's trending, but as of now, we know the hurricane down in the area causing some travel issues, to say the least. And the Royals did make it down to Atlanta after the game yesterday, so they are in Atlanta, which is first and foremost the first thing you wonder about the status for a game. Were they able to get a flight in? They were. Game is still scheduled. Everything seems at this point to be on. That could change very quickly, but right now, 6:20 first pitch between the Royals and Braves. Brady Singer, Max Fried, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show at 5 o'clock. We'll keep you posted if anything changes. Obviously, the drive will keep you posted this afternoon if anything changes as well. But an opportunity, man. Get back to the postseason. Let's do it today.
I don't care if the Twins lose or the Royals
right.
win.
Yeah.
Vibes are the same to me either way. Just get into the postseason and we'll all feel fine. Next up on What's Trending, of course, it is Red Friday. The Chiefs take on the Chargers coming up this Sunday at 3:25. No practice update yet on the day on Justin Herbert. Yesterday, Justin Herbert was a limited participant, but Slater and Joe Alt did not participate. Joey Bosa did not participate. As we know, Derwin James has been suspended and that suspension upheld for this game coming up against the Chiefs. Most recent line of the Chiefs is a 7-point favorite against the Chargers.
College football locally, the Tigers on an off week, and then they get back going in an SEC play. As for the Big 12, KU and K-State both in action. The Kansas State Wildcats, a huge top 25 matchup against the Oklahoma State Cowboys. That one in Manhattan, 11 o'clock kickoff. As for the Jayhawks, they're playing at Arrowhead this weekend. They will host the TCU Horned Frogs. It's a 2:30 kickoff.
You got the Kansas winning this week?
I do, actually. I still don't think they're winning more than like 4 or 5, but I do have them beating a bad TCU team. And I'll be there tomorrow. Be out there tomorrow.
You know what? I hope for your sake and for the bachelor party's sake that they do get the win. Yeah, also, are they allowed to sell you that sweep?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, reports were yesterday Kansas hadn't even signed pen to paper, you know?
That was a very misleading headline. For those that don't know what you're referencing.
Obviously, I'm being somewhat sarcastic. But.
Yeah, there was a report that the contract hadn't been like final between Chiefs and University of Kansas. And so people, of course, ran with that as like, you know, insert joke here. But it turns out that they were just waiting for the signatures to be finalized. They were already painting the logo on midfield. You really think the Chiefs, if they were worried about the game not happening, come on. So
no, I assume the game's happening.
They're playing at Arrowhead. Yes, we do have the suite. We'll see how that goes. This should be a fun time.
Yeah, I think so. Next up on Watch Trending, Micah Parsons set to have an MRI today after leaving the game last night early with an ankle injury. They're hoping it's just a high ankle sprain or an ankle sprain in general, but the shoe was off. He was up on the cart. Plus, Malik Nabers has been diagnosed with a concussion. Good news is for Giants fans or just people who own Malik Nabers in fantasy or own Malik Nabers Offensive Rookie of the Year tickets, got 10 days, right, because of the Thursday night game to get through concussion protocol. Should give him enough time, if no setbacks, to get back on the field by their next game. Also, Adam Schefter says George Kittle expected back on the playing field this Sunday.
And don't forget, on Monday is actually the 10-year anniversary of the 2014 wildcard game. And so on Monday, you'll hear some special content and guests throughout the day here on 96.5 The Fan. You can listen to the bottom of the 8th through the bottom of the 12th inning. Best parts of that game from 7 to 9 on Monday night. You can also hear the entire game if you're up early. Maybe you can't fall asleep, whatever. It'll be 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Monday as well. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, coming up at 1 o'clock, we have the fan club. We've got our friend Andrew from Rieger coming in. Whip up a cocktail or two. Looking forward to that. Heading into the weekend, we'll talk some Chiefs. We'll talk some Royals. And one of our listeners that bid on the fan club experience, Jacob, going to be in studio. So it should be a fun 1 o'clock hour coming your way here on a Red Friday. But let's talk Royals. As we mentioned in What's Trending, just to be in this spot is remarkable, bigger picture, but also what the last week and a half has been with the losing streak and everything. But now the Royals coming off a sweep of the Nats, got great pitching. Offense was timely in some of its hits. Adam Frazier came up with a biggest hit of his Royals career, no question, to separate them from that 4-4 tie with the Nats late in the game. And so they're a win away, or yeah, a Twins loss away the rest of the weekend, whatever happens, from clinching a wild card spot. They still could end up with the top wild card spot. They need some help for that to happen. They would need a win out. The Orioles would have to lose that, I believe, for that equation. But in terms of making the postseason, just win, or just have the Twins lose. The Twins have the Orioles, and that's where it's tricky, man. Because
the Orioles might have nothing to play for.
If the Orioles clinch the top wild card spot, which could happen with a win or a Royals loss, then you're in a position where the Orioles could just lay out their rotation and give some guys some time off. And so the Twins might be in a better position to get a win, which is why ultimately, like, handle your business, get it done. And because of the weather, because of a really tough pitching matchup, Singer versus Fried, you know, the win percentage is 97% or the wild card percentage is 97% right now to get in. But it feels like today's the best day for it to happen. Otherwise, things
start -190 on the money
starting line. Starting to get a little more nervous this evening.
Royals are heavy underdogs. -190 on the money line. Or the favorites are to, or so the Braves are to win. -190.
So I'm saying, like, tonight, so like, it gets even dicier.
I think so. Look, so I think this will probably be a bigger conversation on Monday. I'm not going to let the potential of going to the playoffs just wash over me like it's something that's normal in my lifetime.
Yeah.
The Royals have only made the postseason, if they make it in the next 3 days, four times in 35 years. Gold, you're just under 35. You're 33 years old. Mm-hmm. You're 33 years old. In your lifetime, the Royals, if they make it this time, will have made it for just the third time, actually, in your lifetime, which is wild. And Salvador, you know, you got to remember, Salvador Perez has been on most of those teams. Because he was on there in 14 and 15. He was on this one. They just don't do that very often. Third time, I guess, actually, in 30 years. Sorry, not four. But when you, I was doing the math in my head. But when you start going through it, shouldn't be that hard to count. But when you go through it, I'm not going to let it just wash over. I think what stood out about this series is that when they needed it the most, the Royals flexed their muscle. The Royals have the best starting rotation out of any playoff team in all of baseball. Every team who is currently in a playoff spot does not have a better rotation than the Kansas City Royals. Look at tonight, for instance. Max Fried is the Braves' second best pitcher. Chris Sale is their best pitcher.
Cy Young Award winner. Yeah.
But so they got a great rotation. But if you start stacking up 3, 4, 5, the Royals hang. For instance, tonight, there's a difference of, I don't know, Max Fried's 10-10, Singer's 9-12, about the same. Their ERA is about a quarter point apart, about the same. Right, they both play in competitive division about the same. And this is the Braves' second-best starter. You could have made an argument at points this year. Singer 3, maybe 4 during certain stretches. So, like, their starting rotation is as good as anybody's. And they flex that muscle, finally, against in the final three games to get the sweep against the Nationals. That's not lost on me yesterday. Turns out, they needed all three of those wins. I'd have taken 2 out of 3. And they needed all three so that they could go through this weekend knowing that only one thing has to go right in 3 games for them to win. They either have to just win one game or have the other team win one game. Now, I'd rather just get it done tonight so that they don't have to pitch Lugo and Reagans. Because that's my fear now. That's why we're talking about you and I think this game tonight is the most important of the series.
Because then you look at how they could set it up. If they were to clinch today, then you're in a position, maybe you go with Marsh over the weekend, maybe Lynch, maybe Lorenzen is back in the mix, to where then you guarantee yourself to have Reagans and Lugo game 1, game 2 for a wild card game in either Baltimore or in Houston. That's why it's a huge deal versus being forced to pitch Lugo on Saturday. And if it really got interesting on Sunday, Reagans. You would have to have Reagans and you'd lose your opportunity to have him for a wild card game. Of course, ultimately the goal is you got to make sure you secure that spot. And that's why you'll do whatever it takes to get there. But it'd sure be nice to be able to have the luxury of saving both of them. But the pitching, I mean, how many times throughout the year did we say, just get in and your pitching puts you in a position to make it really interesting in the postseason, despite other issues we've discussed. The bullpen has been much better recently. I still think it's still a question mark. I'm not ready to say it's not a question. The offense is obviously going to be a question throughout the postseason if they get there, because it's been a question post Vinny Pasquantino injury, unfortunately. So all that is still there. And you're getting into specific matchups. Who do you prefer? Yeah, I would prefer the Orioles versus the Astros. Hopefully after tonight, we can actually really start talking about the preferred matchups, because you're in. They're not in yet, but from the outside looking at it, yeah, the Orioles look way less daunting of an opponent than the Houston Astros would be. To go down that building, deal with that stadium, deal with what I still think is a really impressive lineup and a team that's playing really good baseball right now, the Astros, versus an Orioles team that's not playing all that great in the second half of the season, that has had some injuries as well, that rotation isn't, other than Corbin Burns, doesn't really scare you. Like, there's a lot of reasons why you would like that matchup better. But for that to happen, you got to clinch, and of course, tonight is an opportunity to do that.
The Astros can scare you in any given year. The Yankees are probably the best team in the American League. But what we talked about the pitching staff is, and the course of the season is why I think they'll have a chance in any series. I really do. It's why I think they'll have a chance in any series. Factor in, and there's no small sample size here. We're talking about 159 games have been played, okay? So no small sample size. The Royals have the sixth best run differential in baseball. Only five teams who have been better in that department. That includes two seven-game losing streaks this month. Do you guys realize that the Royals are 276 runs improved from the run differential? They were minus 183 last year.
They lost 56 games somehow.
And they are 156. Or
156, yeah. And they won 56 games somehow.
Plus, lost a 56. Yeah. I take that all the time. And then they're plus 93 this year. They improved by 276 runs in the differential. That's the pitching staff. A huge chunk of that is the starting pitching staff. They're actually better in the run differential on the road than they are at home. So I don't think that they can't travel on the road. They got a winning record on the road this season for this much maligned stat they try to toss out around the All-Star break about the Royals' inability to win outside of Kauffman. They've won more games on the road than they've lost. So last night was just the epitome of this is how this team wins. And I like getting a reminder. This is how this team wins. Couple of timely hits. Starting pitching goes away, and then you hand it off to the bullpen arms you trust. That you can get that in three games, but it's a lot easier to get that in three games if Lugo and Reagan's going to pitch for you in those games. That's why win tonight. Win tonight so that we don't have to, like, ask that question.
Vern's On Deck show again, 5 o'clock tonight. We'll keep an eye on the status of the game with obviously the severe weather, the hurricane out in that part of the country and what that could mean with flooding and ultimately travel to the game, etc. But the Royals are in Atlanta. That's the most important part in terms of getting the game in tonight. They didn't have any flight issues or anything like that. So we'll be listening this evening. And of course, this afternoon, the drive will update you if there's any changes on that as well. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get back into the NFL for the rest of the weekend from a fantasy football angle. Paul Charchian going to join us on a Friday, normally on a Thursday at 1 o'clock, but obviously the Royals were playing yesterday. So Charch will join us here in 15 minutes. Who to start for the Chiefs in that backfield? Do you even mess with it fantasy football wise? All that we're going to get into with him in just a little bit. But let's get to all 32, sticking with the NFL. You mentioned Malik Nabers during What's Trending. I mean, he was sensational last night. Did have the concussion.
And we'll, the final play for the Giants?
Essentially, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah, there was one more play after that, I think. But basically, yes, they needed that completion. Would have been an unbelievable catch and everything. So Micah Parsons in that game gets hurt. Malik Nabers gets hurt. But before Malik Nabers gets hurt, he was having an unbelievable performance. And it got me thinking more about what he can do for, the Giants long term, but also, is he going to convince the Giants, who already paid Daniel Jones, that Daniel Jones doesn't basically need to be replaced? Like, is Malik Nabers going to play well saves Daniel Jones' job? Because last night during the broadcast, Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, they were praising Daniel Jones because for Daniel Jones, he looked good.
He looked capable of winning a football game. It's like a Gardner Minshew game.
He did, because we're used to where sometimes he's just throwing interception after interception. He looked good. He protected the football, in fairness. But there were also plenty of underthrown footballs that could have led to points on the board instead of field goals. And so if you're a Giants fan, you should be thrilled about Malik Nabers. He is the real deal. But is he somehow going to allow Daniel Jones to not lose his job, which is not a good thing long term for them?
I think for this year, maybe he keeps Daniel Jones from losing his job. And hell, if the Giants take a top 10 quarterback next year, you want Daniel Jones to sit on the bench for 1 year? Fine. Or Daniel Jones to start so the quarterback can start on the bench for 1 year? That's fine. Which I guess kind of brings me to my point, because if it's in that way, gold, fine. Just as long as your long term plans do not include Daniel Jones. But Alex Smith was on Pablo Torre's podcast, and Justin Fields had a podcast appearance, and they were both talking about the treatment. First-round picks, number one overall picks, get in this league. And Alex Smith had it bang on. He's like, what are you doing to Bryce Young? He said, I shouldn't have been starting my rookie year. Bryce Young shouldn't have been starting his rookie year. And if you were going to turn the keys over to Andy Dalton to save Bryce while he gets comfortable, you could have done that week one last year. Justin Fields was asked on a podcast, and he said, straight up, they said, hey, better coaching, Bears or Steelers? And he said, no hesitation, half a millisecond, Steelers, obviously, right? Everybody knows that that's the case. It's a perfect example of why Eberflus should have had no chance to even get his stink on Caleb Williams, because the second you start guessing at quarterback, you are in trouble. If it wasn't enough anyway, what Justin Fields' season last season looked like with Eberflus, or the 3 years under Eberflus looked like, Justin Fields being 3-0 and being semi-capable under Mike Tomlin should get Eberflus fired tomorrow. Like, just the slow start for Caleb Williams and the way Justin Fields looks should get Eberflus fired today. Get his ass out of there. Get the stink away from Caleb Williams, because you're just setting this kid up for struggles.
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, this offseason, the huge discussion was around that, bringing in Shane Waldron or whatever, and, like, is he the right offensive coordinator for Caleb Williams? Yeah, you got all this talent around him, but you got the right coaching staff. I still stick with my prediction to what you're saying as well, Cody. I think Ben Johnson will be the head coach of the Chicago Bears next season.
But in a lot of ways, see, this is kind of the problem. Yeah, sure, that's better than Eberflus, but you should have done it before.
Well, of course, but you can't correct what they already screwed up.
You can't. Yeah, this is not back to the future.
Correct, but you can't. I mean, you can't. He's their head coach now. The only thing to do if it continues to go south is to then go hire the right guy.
But that's the same thing they did to Alex Smith. It's the same thing they did to Bryce Young. I don't know how often it works where bad coach who doesn't deserve the coach of the young quarterback gets fired. Then it's new system, new coach, new everything, new weapons, and now you're more pressure because year two for Caleb Williams. And it doesn't matter to me whether the Bears ever figure out quarterback or not, but I do feel bad for young players who get put in positions to not succeed just because the organizations can't see. This goes back to maybe the Andy Reid conversation. Be like, well, they're in the game, so they're smarter than you. I could have done better drafting and developing quarterbacks than the Bears have done over the last 30 years. At 10, I could have done a better job randomly selecting quarterbacks than the Bears have done. Like, I'm not a GM. I'm not in charge of a team, but I sure as hell wouldn't let Eberflus anywhere near Caleb Williams. And neither would you, Gold. You and I would have made the right decision on that front. We'd have hired a different coach. Might have still gotten the wrong coach, but it wouldn't have been Eberflus.
Cody's going to buy Madden right now after the show's done to fix all the Bears' problems.
Actually, I'm going to go back and buy the early 2000s head coach. I'm going way back.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, yes.
On EA?
Wasn't Tony Dungy on the cover of that thing?
Tony Dungy, and then Bill Cowher was on
another one. That's right.
They had this music playing, NFL's NFL Films music. Oh,
any EA, hold on real quick. EA head coach for sale. What's that?
Oh, it's probably expensive, I bet.
Do you think it's a hard one to find?
Nah.
Yes. Playing that game. I can buy it for... Ooh, that one, they went $90.
I was going to say. It's
really?
Probably, yeah, because it's rare.
Someone's got one for $48, so okay. I could get it down. That's the cost of a new damn game. Yeah.
You mentioned the weapons for the Bears. Dan Orlovsky, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday or any of the listeners, on Get Up yesterday, said if the Bengals lose to the Panthers, that would be a disaster. But if they start 0-4, they should trade T. Higgins or Ja'Marr Chase. And... I think the conversation has to be had then, but not surrounding Ja'Marr Chase. It's more T. Higgins. You're not expected to have him anyways. Try to see if you can get anything for him before the trade deadline.
Or Trey Hendrickson? Did he want out before the season?
He requested a trade before the draft last year. I don't know if he still wants out or not.
If they're 0-4, then the T. Higgins portion should be a real conversation, and I would pull the trigger if a real deal is out there. Ja'Marr Chase, you're holding on to him no matter what. I mean, come on now. But otherwise, T. Higgins is definitely in play.
I mean, Trey Hendrickson has a potential out on his contract after this season anyway.
He's
only got 1 year left on his deal after this. If they start 0-4 and they include losses to the Patriots and to the Panthers, burn it down. Start from scratch, and you can be the sad fan bases who do the things like, ooh, I can't wait to see what they add with a top five pick in the draft. Look, it stinks to be in that position, especially just a few years removed from being in an AFC title game. But it's better than just sticking with T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson for no reason if your team's going nowhere. And to be clear, if you've lost to the Patriots and the Panthers, your season is definitely going nowhere.
Are they winning this weekend?
Yes. Cross my fingers.
I think I'm going to have to use Cincy and Survivor.
I'm not on camera.
Oh, you're risking it, huh?
I'm very nervous.
Hey, look, Andy Dalton said, I always love playing against the Bengals. All of a sudden, I would not make the pick if I was you.
See, them or the Niners who are banged up against the Patriots. Which one are you doing?
I would not bet on the Bengals. I'm just telling you right now.
Niners
might have way more value later on, but the way things are trending in Survivor, I mean, shoot.
Cincinnati's been the reason why there's so few people left.
I know.
I am very happy that I'm going to the NASCAR race this weekend. I'm not watching the game at all whatsoever. I'm not paying attention to it.
Does it count?
It's like a half a win if you beat the Panthers, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, by the way, that's a full win, maybe.
So the record's going to be 0.5 and 3.
Yeah, 0.5 and 3.
That's all 32. Legit question. You're going to the race at the Speedway, right? I know you and your wife are big NASCAR fans. Who's supposed to win the race? Do you know? Like, who's the favorite?
Probably Kyle Larson, who won in the spring and the closest finish in NASCAR history. But
that one was by an eyelash.
Well, so my wife's working today. The ARCA and Truck Series races are tonight. I'm going right after she's...
You're going to the truck race?
Yeah, I'm going to the ARCA race as well. I'm going to.
You're all in this weekend.
I am. I guess you wouldn't. I don't know if you'd suspect it from me.
You're a stone's throw from.
If I am a stone's throw, I will literally walk over there.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Today. Yeah, I'm very excited for this weekend.
Nice.
I wouldn't have pegged you like, you know, in like the interview process when Drew was, I wouldn't have necessarily pegged him as a NASCAR guy.
Well, that was where I was kind of going with it is if there was like a NASCAR weekend, if my wife worked all weekend, because I thought about going to the race tomorrow too, the Xfinity race, because my wife is working a double tomorrow because I love college football. And I was like, you know,
Alabama, Georgia.
I'd love to go to the Xfinity race, but then that is the reason why I'm not going to be, there's a lot of good college football on tomorrow. But yeah, this is a fun weekend for NASCAR. It's not my type of crowd, but I would say it is surprising to some people when I say I love NASCAR. It's like, yeah, really?
Kyle Larson, by the way, is the favorite at Kansas City.
Denny Hamlin's probably up there as well.
Denny Hamlin's number two. Boy, you just got it. He knows his stuff. You know what you say?
My guy Ryan Blaney.
Can you name the third guy? Can you get three in a row? Larson, Hamlin, and
Tyler Reddick.
That's three. God, that's impressive. I just pulled up the odds, too.
He won last year.
I've never even heard of I've heard of Kyle Larson, and I've heard of Hamlin. I've never even heard of Kyle or Tyler Reddick. I don't even know who that is. Is he good?
He's one of the drivers for MJ's team.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah, Michael Jordan has a NASCAR team.
Michael
Bubba
Jordan
Wallace is part of it.
Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin. I might be able to meet Bubba Wallace tomorrow. I'm going to hopefully be able to do that, too. So.
Meet who? Excited. Michael Wallace?
No, Bubba Wallace.
Bubba Wallace.
He's going to be in Nebraska Furniture Mart tomorrow.
Okay. Did I send that to you? I felt like I sent you, like, I got a PR meeting.
Somebody's at it. I'm kidding you not. One of the drivers is at a ramen noodle place tomorrow.
Yes, I think that's Kyle Larson.
Okay.
Down in your neck of the woods. He's in like Olathe. He's in South KC.
What?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, he's at a ramen noodle place.
Like I'm sure the chain ramen noodle place?
I'm sure the place is great. It's just funny that he's having it at a ramen noodle place. That's all.
I am a little bit bummed because Ryan Blaney, who's my favorite driver, is at the Walmart by the Speedway right now. I wish he was going to be there later on today or tomorrow to be able to meet him. That would be really cool. But yeah.
Oh, it was Chase Briscoe I sent you one for yesterday.
Drew? Oh, I
all he kinds of
where's
opportunities.
They're all over the city.
He is going to be at Hollywood Casino.
Martin Truex Jr. is going to be at the Bass Pro Shops up there in the Legends area.
Yeah, damn, these guys know how to put themselves somewhere, don't they?
NASCAR is great. Like if you want to go, I've told you need to go to a race, Cody. You can bring your own beer, and they don't care. You don't have to buy a single thing from them. You can bring your cooler, bring food.
Like
they don't care.
Never been to a NASCAR race.
I've been once. I think you got to go once. I think you should go
feel
once at least.
Feel the thunder in your chest a little bit.
You know,
yeah.
Get a pit pass. That part was kind of cool, but it was cool for like 45 minutes. I'm like, okay, I got my fix.
Tires get changed. We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Heard the air gun. Did you wear the headphones?
Earplug things.
Yes.
You
should wear earplugs. Yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, you will not be hearing Drew and I for a long time.
No.
While we're doing that.
On Monday and not be able to hear very well at all.
All right. Up next, let's go back to the NFL. Paul Charchian gives us some fantasy football advice. Of course, Charch is from GuillotineLeagues.com. I want to ask him about the Chiefs backfield situation. And do you have enough faith in starting Carson Steele or Kareem Hunt? We'll do that next.
All right, we are back here on Cody and Gold. Of course, coming up a little bit later on today, we'll get to our game predictions heading into the weekend for the Chiefs and the Chargers. But it's time to talk some fantasy football week 4. By now, I don't know anybody in your league that probably doesn't have some fantasy football injuries to navigate through and everything like that. And so Paul Charchian is going to help us out with that as he does each and every week. Paul Charchian of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. He's presented by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drink, Scenic Views. I said it right there, Charge. I think the injuries are just been decimating teams so far.
Yeah, it absolutely has. I'm tracking 26 injured players for this weekend. 26. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And those are the meaningful guys, right? You know, I'm not talking about, you know, backup guards and, you know, cornerbacks. These are like fantasy starters that that we're having to track. It's really been the story of your success through 3 weeks has basically been, how injured has your roster been? And if you've only had one significant injury, you're probably in good shape. Most of us are dealing with 2 and 3 significant injuries, so it really pays off. The people who are going to do well now are the hardcore guys that are really tracking this day to day or even hour to hour and really paying attention to who's hurt, who might play. I'll give you an example. Looks like Jalen Warren's not going to go for Pittsburgh. Najee Harris may not go. He's got an arm injury, but even if he does, Cordarrelle Patterson may very well be a starter this week against an Indianapolis team that's given up the most rushing yards in the NFL. These are the kinds of like deeper moves that give you a win in a week that you wouldn't otherwise have. And if you're not paying close attention, you know, that's, you know, you're not making those kinds of moves. So I think the people who really track this stuff closely are the ones getting paid right now.
I'm not going to lie, Church. I might have to go pick up Patterson and Guillotine now that you're saying it, because I got McCaffrey and Pacheco on a roster. And unless my seance for Christian McCaffrey's German procedure goes over well, I think I'm screwed.
Has this ever worked? Can you get, because we, like, once or twice a year, we'll hear about some athlete who decides they're going to go to Argentina to try some, you know, unique thing that no American doctor would ever touch, right? Does that ever work? Has there ever been some scenario that's been like, oh, yeah, well, thank God, you know, the Mayo Clinic couldn't do it, but, you know, Dr. Glakowicz in Sweden sure has this procedure figured out.
Yeah, what was it? Peyton Manning maybe went overseas for some neck thing. Maybe that's the only example. But even then, he was a shell of himself at that point in time. Maybe Christian McCaffrey just knows Oktoberfest starts like this week.
Oh, man. Maybe he wants to try to do that bit where they carry those, 17 steins filled with beer in both hands. You've seen those things. You're like, they're never going to carry all those steins. And then somebody does. And you're like, wow, that's always amazing to me.
Church, if one theme is injuries, I think the other theme of fantasy football has been, if there are probably six quarterbacks you could have taken that you're like, what the hell am I doing here? Patrick Mahomes, yeah. Anthony Richardson. I'm dead serious. Consider starting Andy Dalton this week. What's your concern over guys like, let's say, Anthony Richardson, a guy we thought we were going to get the dual threat out of?
Yeah, I think the appropriate level of concern for Anthony Richardson is a bowel-loosening level of existential dread. And I keep hearing people go, oh, he's still young. It's only been 7 starts and 5 full games. Yeah, okay, but the passing from Anthony Richardson is awful. I mean, exactly when am I allowed to start worrying if not now? His completion percentage is 49%, dead last in the NFL. And get this, on passes of longer than 12 yards, which is not that long, Richardson's completion rate drops to 33%. And the other key thing I keep hearing from fantasy managers is, well, I don't care about his passing. I'm here for his running. Well, okay, but here's the problem with that. He's only averaging 6 designed runs per game and just 39 rushing yards. Those 3.9 rush fantasy points is not enough to help. And so, and then there's this as well for the Anthony Richardson. You guys know who's backing him up?
Oh, yeah. Joe Flacco, comeback player of the year.
You got it. The reigning comeback player of the year. Just waiting there, haunting his every move, waiting to hit the field. Now, they squeaked out a win that I didn't think they were necessarily going to get last week to save them from going 0-3. So I think that probably bought, you know, Richardson a week or two. But this thing's got to get better soon. Or Shane Steichen's not in a position to just flush this season in late September, early October, and at some point he'd have to go to Flacco if this continues.
We're talking to Paul Charchin of Guillotine Leagues and FantasyLife.com. Let's stick with the quarterbacks up in your neck of the woods there in Minnesota. I'm sure you guys are thrilled with what Sam Darnold is doing right now. I know he was a little banged up. Sounds like he's going to play, but is he now an every week starter? Like, I know the name in general, you're like, I don't know. He was still available in free agency on a couple of my leagues, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Your NFL leader in touchdown passes with 8 and multiple touchdowns in every game for Sam Darnold. Now, we want our fantasy passers to be able to deliver downfield. Big plays, big gains, generate gobs of fantasy points in one completion. And conversely, dump-off passes don't help us. So we're looking for deep downfield passers. On passes of over 15 yards, Sam Darnold has the highest completion percentage in the NFL. 65%. How good is the 65% completion rate on passes over 15 yards? 11 starting quarterbacks don't have a 65% completion rate on all parts of the field. Sam Darnold's doing that on deep passes of over 15 yards. Green Bay this week, that is a suspect-looking secondary. They've played 2 of 3 games against bottom-tier passers. Anthony Richardson, we just talked about, Will Levis. And despite that, they rank 24th in passing yards allowed, 24th in passing touchdowns allowed, and 22nd in opposer passer rating. So I think this is another good start for Sam Darnold. He is my quarterback ranking. I'm looking right now. Quarterback number 9 this week.
So starters in almost every league, unless you're in some weirdo 8-man league, Church. Get some more members for your league, in my opinion. So what you just said, though, so look, I think you'd be a fool if you were worried about the actual football team, the Kansas City Chiefs. they're the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They've looked average in regular seasons before and still gone out and win the title. But from a fantasy perspective, the exact same things you just said about Sam Darnold are the opposite for Patrick Mahomes. He is not throwing the ball deep. He is not successfully throwing it deep. Mm-hmm. Everything is a check down. Is he an every week starter in fantasy?
Boy, did you hit the key problem right here. On passes of over 15 yards, Patrick Mahomes, of all people, ranks 27th in attempts and 15th in completions. That's, I mean, just knowing everything we know about Patrick Mahomes, that's the opposite of what we want and expected. You know, we thought Xavier Worthy would help unlock some of that, and maybe it will in time. Obviously, it's not yet. Get this. Since week 8 of last year, spanning 11 regular season games, which is a pretty meaningful sample size, Patrick Mahomes has been a top 10. I'll have you guys guess, Alex and Cody. How many times since week 8 of last year, 11 games, has Patrick Mahomes been a top 10 fantasy quarterback?
Once. Twice? I'm an optimist.
Yep, once. One time. That is it. His average finish in those 11 regular season games, and he was a little better in the playoffs, quarterback 16. Most leagues are 12-person leagues. That means most weeks since week 8 of last year, you'd have been better off starting somebody else than Patrick Mahomes. Staggering.
What about the backfield situation around the league, specifically in Chicago? DeAndre Swift, they gave him, what, 3 years, $20-something million, and he has been completely ineffective. I'll just say on waiver wire this week, Roschon Johnson was picked up in a couple of my leagues. Is that the right move? Is it trending towards him?
It is. I picked up Roschon Johnson. I bid on him in all of my guillotine leagues. He was available in all of them. I bid on him in all of them. Didn't get him in all. But DeAndre Swift, I can't stress enough how bad he's looked. He ranks dead last in rushing yards over expectation at negative 2.5 yards. I mean, think about that. On every running play, Swift is subtracting 2.5 yards from what is expected from him. His first down run rate is 2%. His yards after contact is dead last among starters. His avoided tackle rate is second to last among starting running backs. And very importantly, Shane Waldron, with the game on the line last week in the final drive, pulled DeAndre Swift from the game, potentially trying to win, and it was a Roschon Johnson insert at that time. And there are now media reports saying Johnson could start this week. I think you drop DeAndre Swift outright. I think this thing is diseased. Maybe at some point he comes back later in the season, helps you, but I think you just avoid the temptation of starting DeAndre Swift. I just say kick him to the curb and let him be somebody else's problem.
Charge, let's do a little quick fire. I'll give you a couple of guys in PPR, and you tell me who you would start. You ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, Brian Thomas, Wandell Robinson, Mooney, or Braylon Allen all of a sudden?
I love what Darnell Mooney's doing in that offense. He is running as many routes and getting the same snap count as Drake London is. And he is a big part of that offense in Atlanta. I've actually been really impressed with what he's done. And, you know, and so he'd be my first choice. My second choice this weekend is Brian Thomas, who continues to be a big part of his offense. He's my wide receiver 33 this week, which doesn't sound, you know, all that lofty, but I like the opportunity for Brian Thomas. That passing offense still, you know, for whatever it's worth in Jacksonville. And Trevor Lawrence could be a whole other discussion that we could have about struggling quarterbacks. But Brian Thomas looks great. They're still trying to feed him the ball to get some reps on that rookie. And Evan Ingram continuing not to play. So Thomas, to me, is the other guy I like there. Braylon Allen could be a star. He would be the starting running back on half of the NFL teams. But I don't think he's locked behind Breece Hall. He's going to continue to get like one third of the carries. And it just, you can only do so much from a fantasy standpoint on one third of the carries.
How about three guys that finally broke out on their fantasy seasons? Chris Olave, Terry McLaurin, or DeAndre Hopkins? Who would you start out of those?
I'm out on Hopkins altogether. Will Levis is so bad. He's somehow worse in year two than he was last year. So I'm completely out on him. Love what I've seen from Chris Olave. He had a slow start in week one, even though they scored all those points the Saints did. But that Saints offense looks completely legit. You've got him as he's getting, you know, basically full time every down snaps, routes run, and that passing offense really goes primarily through Chris Olave. So I'm delighted with what he's done. Rashid Shaheed, two big games, and then didn't catch a pass last week. he's getting targeted at 20 yards a target. So he continues to be the fascinating part of that Saints lineup, where if you can find the right matchups, Rashid Shaheed is a ton of fun for those big games.
Last one, just more of a conversation for Chiefs fans that are listening with the backfield. We know Carson Steele got 17 carries. We know that Kareem Hunt is going to be active on Sunday along with Samaje Perine. Perine got 6 carries. How do you approach this from a fantasy end? I think Steele's going to still get the touches, but does Kareem Hunt make it to where Samaje Perine's just not an option anymore?
Yeah, I think he hurts Perine more than he hurts Steele. Steele is, because, you know, stylistically, Steele and Hunt are nothing alike, right? Whereas we know Hunt is a viable pass catcher. He's not, you know, Hunt's not a power back, never was, and certainly isn't at this stage of his career. So I think Hunt ends any notions you have about starting Perine. I thought Steele looked pretty good in, you know, what is it, 17 carries that he got? You know, vertical runner for sure, north-south runner, but just the power, really nice. We're in it for goal line touchdowns. Your team's never been one that runs a lot at the stripe. So I've got Steele as a flex-level starter at running back number. Hold on. Running back number, ranking, sorting on fantasylife.com, running back 29 this week.
All right, Charge. Appreciate it, man. Best of luck this weekend to you as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
We'll do it. Paul Charchi normally joins us on Thursdays at 1 o'clock, but yesterday, of course, the Royals were having some day baseball. Very important baseball.
Too busy beating the Nationals to hear from Charch on a Thursday.
So appreciate Charch working with us, calling in on a Friday. Got his thoughts on some fantasy football, and his conversation with us are presented by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Coming up in 15 minutes, we have a Fan Club Friday here on 96.5 The Fan. We've got our friend Andrew from Rieger. He's already setting up. Looks like he's brought some awesome stuff already. A little glancing over there. So we're going to check out that and maybe a new bottle or two.
A little whiskey on a Friday?
Uh-huh. So we'll get that. Plus one of our listeners from our Cody Engel Garage Sale that bid on an experience to come in studio for the 1 o'clock hour. Jacob, he will be in studio as well. We'll talk some Chiefs, some Royals. Before we get to the random question of the day, I thought this was actually really cool in a season in which we all know the Chicago White Sox have been pathetic.
And I mean, it's one of the worst seasons in Major League Baseball history.
A chance to go down as the worst, or one of the worst. It's already put them in that conversation, but depending on how this weekend goes, and we obviously here in Kansas City hope the White Sox find a way to at least win one game or two against the Tigers to help the Royals. But the White Sox push back Garrett Crochet's start just so that he can face the Tigers. Now remember, they had already fired Pedro Grifol, so Grady Sizemore is the manager right now, acting manager. He said, quote, the Tigers are their rivals. They're fighting for a playoff spot. We want to give them our best shot. He said, Tigers, it's good for baseball. And
it is. The Tigers did this to a playoff team like 10 years ago.
Who was the pitcher? I can't remember who that was.
It was the Guardians.
Okay.
Indians.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, like, at the time, they stuck it to him at the end of the season. Grady Sizemore probably remembers that. Hell, he might have been on that team, Gold. So, fine. What do I care? I'd want the Royals doing the same thing. They could ruin someone's playoff chances this week and do it. Yeah. What else you got to hang your hat on? Ruin someone's season.
It is good for baseball. Like, you know what? If you're the Tigers in a way, it's good for baseball because this motivates them. Like, oh, you're holding back your best guy. You think you're giving us your best shot? Like, I think not that the Tigers need motivation because they're fighting for a playoff spot,
correct,
but it adds more juice to the series. So props to them and what is it, a pitiful White Sox season. But they're like, you know what? Why not? Let's have some fun on the final three games. We're going to put our best available pitcher right now out there. And we're going to purposely hold them back to go up against you. We don't want our division rival to have success against us.
I love it. Honestly, it is the whole point of the sport of competition. And it's something football probably does the best. Bad football teams ruin the seasons of good football teams all the time. Constantly, as a matter of fact, right? They come in here in some week 13 game where they're not supposed to. The Raiders were trying to do it to the Chiefs, for instance, last year. Or at the very least, ruin their week. Doesn't have to ruin the season. They tried to ruin Christmas for Chiefs fans last year, right? That's the whole point, is that good teams that have a little bit of fight don't quit. They'll still come in there, the players, right, have enough pride to try to ruin the moment for you. I love that the White Sox are like, nah, we're holding back Crochet. We're going to just try to stick it to you for no other reason than screw you. That's why. They're also been winning the last couple of days, you notice? White Sox have scrapped together a couple of wins. All we need them to do is get one.
Gets the Tigers. Maybe it's tonight with Garrett Crochet. We'll talk some more Royals baseball in the 1 o'clock hours. The Royals are just a win away or a Twins loss away
from clinching the first postseason spot since 2015. Of course, you can hear the Royals-Braves game tonight right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For, I guess, Drew, he's got to go pick up the listeners coming in for the fan club. And then, of course, for you on the text line, 913-586-7965. Or you can hit us up, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Like and subscribe over there at The Fan 965. We live stream the show every day. Question every day actually involves a friend group of mine. Couldn't make the trip this year, but about every other year I try to go out on, you know, like a normal group of guys golf trip.
Yeah, where did you go last year?
So it was Maryville, Missouri.
Okay.
A huge chunk of them all went to Northwest, so they all go up to Mozingo, which is like a small, like, there's like a hotel there that you can stay at, and then there's the golf course. And it's usually two rounds on Friday, two rounds on Saturday.
Oh, I remember this last year. You were talking about how sure you were.
Well, I'll just be honest, dude. That's a lot of golf for me. I don't play enough golf for 36 holes 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. But they ran into a problem this year. I couldn't be up there. Where in Maryville, you're like, how does everyone get home? Well, Uber and Lyft are incredibly unreliable because it's a very small town. There aren't that many drivers around. And the university supplies something called Safe Ride. So all the students who've been drinking on campus can get home for free via this service from the university.
They had at KU as well.
So even less, back in the day, right? Yeah. Even less likely to catch an Uber, right? That would be the case. So they couldn't figure out a ride. On Saturday night, they want to go up to, they want to go in town because Mozingo's make 15 minutes. They want to go into town and get back. Taxi service is belly up there. There's no way to get back. So they're all messaging in this group chat trying to figure out. So I want to know what price you'd pay. So what they had figured out is my nephew, not kidding, I'm sicking, my nephew is going to drive them to and from town on Saturday. How much would you, knowing that you don't have Uber, knowing you have no ride, but you want to go into town, you want to drink. Mm-hmm. You need two groups, so two trips in, two trips back based on the number of people. What would you be willing to pay per person to get yourself back and from town drunk and safe?
Now, so is he's driving from Kansas City, though?
No. He goes to school at Northwest.
Okay, so this isn't that bad, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's why I thought to offer his services. He goes to school there, and he'll be on campus. Yeah. So what do you think, as a person who doesn't have somewhere to be, what is the price you're willing to pay per person to get to town and from town twice?
In that circumstance, I don't know.
When you know you don't have another ride, so the only way you're going out is that
30 to 40 bucks?
Ahead?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Because, like, we're, I mean, so for example, bachelor party tomorrow, right? I've told you that. Now we're in town, we're in Kansas City. And so we're meeting at one place, and then we're going to have to take two Ubers throughout the day, various things. We're doing like a boulevard tour, we're going to the KU game, we're doing some other stuff. And so I'm sure that's going to come up to way more than $30 a person when the day's done, I would think.
Now they're only going one trip into town near the main strip or whatever, wherever the bars or restaurants are. And then one trip back, right? So
someone said 350 total. So, and how many people are in this?
12.
Okay. So they're okay.
Two trips, though. They've got a big enough vehicle up there. He won't have to drive his own car, too. I'd like to factor that in. They've brought up a larger vehicle so that they can do it in two trips versus the truck he drives. By the way, just so you know, they paid him $300. That's what they're paying.
I think that's fair.
That seems like a good price. And by the way, a 20-year-old, you got to be all over
right
that,
for
right?
him. He's pumped.
You're 20 years old, and they're saying, hey, can you drive 20 minutes into town back and forth
and that's
twice?
It? It's not at like 2 a.m. or anything?
Well, I mean, I think it'd be like midnight, 1 a.m. I mean, I warned him it would be, like, they're probably a late night on Saturday because they're not golfing Sunday morning.
You lose one Saturday night in college for $300, I think you're okay.
Buys beer. I mean, what is $300 in a small college town? How long does that keep you drinking? A month? You might be
Cody. You could pay off your bet you owe the show with that kind of money.
Flush $300. Someone says he needs to make at least $400. Someone says $100 per round trip for a starving student. He's getting a little bit more than that. Someone, like, it's all over because, like, 30, 40 bucks, that wouldn't seem that bad to me. Because essentially that's what it's working out to. 30 ahead or 25 ahead, 25 bucks a person. You're like, yeah, I'll pay that for two trips.
Did you ask for a cut?
I did not ask for a cut.
You basically found him a job.
Now you're describing me as like a pimp. Like, I'm asking for a cut of the service he's doing here.
You get 10%, you know?
I'll say one mistake I'm a little bit worried about, and I don't think he's listening to this because he's teaching. I did not ask my brother if it was cool if my nephew drove 12 drunk people. Should I have flown that by him? Should I have gone with the...
How old is he, 20?
Hey, is this 20? I mean, he's a functional adult. He's 20. He's also a responsible kid.
I mean,
that's
you know your brother more than I do. If it's something, if it would bug him or not.
I think it might. I feel like I might have made.
Well, you got to. Here's the thing. You have to back him up now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to say it was my idea. You got to back him up.
I think it's kid dependent. He's far too responsible to be worried about it.
Okay.
He's far too responsible as a kid to be worried about it. You know.
Yeah. That's why someone suggested the trip back at night when they're all drunk. He should get paid more for that.
Someone says, I'm not dealing with drunk a-holes for less than $400. Uber drivers do it all the time for less than that. There's obviously a price point below that in which people will deal with it.
Yeah, but in this circumstance, this is a nice group of people. There's no Uber reliable up there, you were saying. So.
They didn't want to risk it, and they looked into a party bus, and it was going to be double that.
Yeah. Even in Lawrence, Uber didn't become a thing in Lawrence until maybe a year or two after, maybe two years after we graduated. So, okay, you've seen it back then.
Lawrence is bigger than Maryville.
For sure, but even then, we either walked or, you know, you figured it out with your buddy that wasn't drinking, or you did, they had like the bus or whatever that you could hop on. Like, that's how you did it. I mean, you weren't taking
it. I imagine that's how the students still do. Why the hell would you pay for an Uber if I was in college, pick you up for free?
If I was in college, I'd just do the Uber thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd take the free ride, man.
Yeah, but the bus, it depends on if you live on campus or off campus. Like, not all the buses are...
You're saying you would take the bus to the bar and then...
No, we didn't take the bus to the bar. That was a get home if that was your last resort to walk. Right. You'd walk to find the bus.
Gotcha. And
if this was only freshman, sophomore year or whatever when you were still living on campus, at least for me, when I was still living on campus.
Okay, that's my random question. Right. That's it.
Up next, we get to the fan club here on a Friday. We'll talk some more Chiefs ahead of their game against the Chargers. More thoughts on the Royals, who could clinch a playoff spot tonight, as we've got Andrew from Rieger, plus our listener, all coming in studio here on 96.5 The Fan.